You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, you're watching the Best Practice Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And if you're growing your business, one of the most important components is really getting your message right. And I've got an incredible expert that's been a huge part of my journey, and Dr. Gary Sanchez. You do not want to miss this. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. We'll see you in a few seconds. Thanks for being on the show. Thank you so much for watching. We are so grateful. I love all the suggestions you guys keep sending us for all the great shows, and I'm going to line these up as best I can, and today is no exception. I got a great one for you today. One of my favorite people that's helped me in my journey, and you're going to see how helpful this is in just a second. Now, and again, thank you for all the shares. We've got now over 35,000 followers on Facebook and well over 150,000 that have joined us on iTunes. And so keep sharing, keep sending, keep, we're going to just do our best to bring you hugely valuable content because we want you to get the most out of this. Now, my guest today is a good friend of mine, Dr. Gary Sanchez. Gary, you and I have known each other for many years and you came into my life. We've known each other for longer than that, but we actually really got to know each other about 9 years ago. And you have been on an incredible journey in not only helping dentists, but helping large corporations figure out one of the most important pieces of the puzzle of not only marketing, but building a business, and it's your why. But before we get into that, I want to know, who is Gary Sanchez? Because we got a lot of dental students watching this and kids that some people might not know who you are. Who are you?
Well, yes, I am a dentist, and I am a dentist from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so let me tell you a little bit about my journey, because I have a feeling it's going to be a lot like the journeys that the students are going to go on, and it's probably a lot like the journey that a lot of the dentists have already been on.
Right.
I went to dental school back in 1988, which doesn't seem that long ago to me, but does that to you? I mean, doesn't it seem like just the other day?
Well, I graduated in 88, so from high school. So, you know, so that'll give you some perspective. But yeah, it went like that, didn't it?
Yes, for sure. So grew up in Albuquerque, went to undergrad in Boulder, Colorado, and then went out to USC for dental school. And I graduated in 1988. So if you were to see a picture of me in 1988, I looked about 16 years old. Okay. Right. So I started out already looking really, really young. And I went into practice with my dad. So my dad's 60 and look like I'm 16. And I remember the very first day I go to work, nobody even knew I was coming. Right. Even the people that work there didn't even know I was coming. I just showed up because my dad didn't even tell them anything. And I remember the very first patient, I sat down, my dad was doing the exam. I walked into the exam room and my dad said, "Would you mind if my son worked on you? He just graduated from dental school." Now that's not the kind of intro that you want, do you think?
No, not at all, not at all.
And then I proceeded to rip my gloves trying to put them on. My glasses fell off my head. I mean, it was just not the best start. Mm-hmm. But the advice that I was given when I started as a dentist was, if you build a great product, people will come, right? Go out and do the best job you can, and people will naturally find out about you and they'll come see you. That's what I was told. Have you ever heard that before?
I heard it many times.
Yes, and I can tell you that doesn't necessarily work. I spent 20 years taking the best courses, going to the best institute, working with the best mentors, buying all the latest technology. I got a beautiful facility here. I got all the latest technology. I got a well-trained team. I met you originally through Dr. Schuster, right? Going through the Schuster Center.
Many years ago, yep.
Yeah, I went through Pankey. I went through Dawson. I went through OBI. I went through ortho courses, endo courses, you name it. I was taking over 260 hours of continuing education every year to build a great product. And I went from a guy that was so fired up to be a dentist to 20 years later being that guy sitting in his office, sitting right where I am right now, looking at my computer screen, at my half-empty schedule, wondering how could this have happened to me, right? I worked so hard. I did the things I was told that I was supposed to do, and my practice kept getting smaller and smaller and more refined, and I became more and more frustrated. I remember listening in my operatories and not hearing anything. It was silent because I didn't have patience. And I remember that pain in my chest. You know, you could just taste the anxiety that comes from working so hard for something and not getting the results. So that advice did not work for me. I knew there had to be a better way. And so one day, Kirk, I have two daughters. I have two teenage daughters. And when my daughter was 15, she asked me to take her and her teenage girlfriends to the book opening, midnight book opening of Twilight. Remember when Twilight came out?
I do. I remember that.
And so here I am now alone in a bookstore because, of course, teenage daughters don't want their dad with them. They only want me to take them there. And so here I'm wandering around this bookstore by myself. I look down this aisle and I see a book called The Answer.
By John Assaraf, right?
John Assaraf.
Yeah.
Right? I have all these questions. There's a book called The Answer. I pick it up and it's exactly what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. It was a book about, if you know anything about him, as a young man, he took over a Remax real estate company, took it from nothing to $1.4 billion, sold it in his early 40s, and then went back and figured out why he was so successful. So it was exactly what I was looking for. And through him, I learned how to use the internet. I learned how to do websites. I learned how to do drip campaigns. I learned how to do my own SEO. I learned how to get my message out to the world, right? I'm going to tell everybody about me and how wonderful my practice is. But once I learned how to get my message out, the problem really became, what am I going to say, right? What am I going to say that separates me from everybody else? What am I going to say that doesn't make me sound desperate or like I actually need new patients?
Right.
So since I didn't know what to say, I did what most of us do, which is just stay quiet, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't want to say the wrong thing, so I didn't say anything. Until one day I heard him interview a guy named Simon Sinek, right? Simon Sinek developed the book Start With Why. I'm sure you've read it. I'm sure you've heard
Absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely. Love it.
Yes. And so as I read that book, it made so much sense to me, right? What Simon talks about, if you're not familiar with it, is that he said everybody knows what they do, right? I'm a dentist. Some know how they do what they do. And by how, we mean, what are your proprietary processes or those things that you think make you different? He said it's the inspiring companies and the inspiring individuals that start with their why they do what they do. Yep. Right. And when you start with your why, it connects to people in a completely different way. It connects to a different part of the brain that allows them to move forward, buy your product, buy your service, join your cause when you start with your why. Mm-hmm. And I read that and I saw that concept and it made so much sense to me. I said, that is the missing piece. That's what I don't have. I was completely bought in. I said, you know what? I'm going to use that. I'm going to start my life with my why. I'm going to start my business with my why, my marketing, my messaging, all with my why. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. And you've always been a pioneer. You know, you're talking about drip campaigns and websites. Like, I didn't even know what a drip campaign was until I met you. And then I think it was 9 or 10 years ago, you came and spoke at one of our conferences. I didn't know who Simon Sinek was. You made me read the book. I read the book and then I watched all the videos. And then you started getting into the work of the why. And I'll just tell you, if you're watching this, I want you to listen to what Gary has to say, because I had a deep subjective pain. And the deep subjective pain was I couldn't understand why I would run into these painful situations. And you shed some light on it. You go, Kirk, you have a why, and there's only 9 of them, and you got to figure it out. Once you helped me with that whole process, now I became less painful to myself and the people around me. And it really is, you know, you and I talked about this on your podcast, which is an amazing podcast. You got to listen to it, because you not only have dental professionals, you have entrepreneurs on there, is that self-awareness is one of the most important pieces of any human being. Not that it's perfect, but like the more self-aware you become of who you are, the more helpful you can be. Agree?
Oh, for sure. And you know, you brought up a really good point there, Kirk, because when I started in dentistry, I look so young that I felt like I had to be somebody else. I had to act smart. I had to take all these courses. I had to mute myself in order to fit the part of being the dentist, because I looked so young and I was so new. Right. I don't know if I can imagine a lot of the listeners have felt that same thing. You know, I wasn't free to be me. I was kind of a muted version of myself.
Right.
And so that held me back quite a bit. Didn't. And then the question becomes, okay, now you're muting yourself, but who are you really?
Right.
How do you fully become yourself in order to express yourself?
Yeah. Now, Gary, let's say, you know, because you're a really sharp guy, but let's start with some of the basic element. Let's say I'm a young dentist. I'm a 32-year-old dentist watching this. And I go, Gary, like, I got a lot of pain. I understand what you're saying. Where would I even begin this journey? Because I struggle. I love dentistry. I want to be a dentist, but I'm working in an environment that's not me. I've got, maybe I'm insurance heavy. I've got like all these expanded hours. I've got a lot of pain. Where would I even start?
Step one, that's a great point, Kirk. Step one is you've got to discover you. Transformation is not about trying to be somebody else. Mm-hmm. Transformation is about you discovering you, because you're already good enough, right? You just have to know what that is. And the way you do that is by discovering your why. And so as Kirk knows, I worked with so many people once I discovered my why. So as I was saying in my story, you know, that all sounded great what Simon Sinek was talking about, but unless you know your why, it doesn't have any value to you. So I became obsessed with discovering my why. And as I discovered my why, I figured out the process for discovering people's whys. And as I helped more and more and more people discover their why, I found that there was only 9 different whys. And that's what Kirk was just talking about. There's only 9 different whys. And once I discovered that, I was able to create a software program where people can go online now and discover their why. So step one, go discover your why. Go to whyinstitute.com, whyinstitute.com. I have a free app on my website so that you can go online and discover your why for free. Now, Kirk's why happens to be the same as my why, which is to find a better way and share it, right? We are always in search of a better way. We're incessantly in search of a better way, right?
Right, right. Now go through this, because you've taught this. There are 9 whys, and then people can kind of, you're still going to have to take the test, because I had to take the test, but give us the 9 whys, because some people are listening to this on iTunes and may not have that information. So just go through them.
Okay, so there's 9 different whys. The first why is contribute. To contribute to a greater cause, add value, have an impact in the lives of other people. These are people that just want to help in any way they can, whether that's picking up a broom and sweeping the floor or sitting down and having a deep conversation with you to help you move forward. So they are people that you love having on your team because they want to help in any way they can. The second why is trust. To create relationships based upon trust, to be the trusted source, to be the one that others can count on. If you can count on them and they can count on you, the sky's the limit. There's nothing we can't do. But if you break their trust, that's a big deal. So you got to know that. The third why is to make sense of the complex or challenging. Make sense. So these are great problem solvers. You can just throw all your stuff onto them and they can quickly synthesize it down to that thing that's keeping you stuck so that you can understand it and move forward. So they help people move forward by helping them solve their problems. The fourth why is to find a better way. And that's Kirk and my why, which is we are great at taking something that's already there and innovating it, improving it, always asking the question, how can we make this better? So we're always looking for those things that will improve other people's lives. The fifth why is right way, to do things the right way in order to get results. Their structure, process, systems people. They create the structure and process around getting things done and getting results, right? So if they find something that works, they stick to it because they know they'll get results. The sixth why is to challenge the status quo and think differently. This was Steve Jobs' why, right? Imagine extraordinary, think big, think different, think outside the box. They usually wear different kinds of clothes and they're, you know, put them in a box and they die, let them outside the box and they create extraordinary. The seventh why is to seek mastery, to seek mastery and understanding. These are people that like depth and breadth and detail. They take the simple and make it complex because they go so deep into it. So for you and I, it's 3 steps to cook a scrambled egg. For them, it's 28 steps because they know everything about every step. Right? The eighth why is to clarify, to create clarity, or is for these people, if things are not crystal clear, they cannot move forward. They get stuck. They want to make sure that they're fully understood and that people, and they fully understand what you're talking about. They're the person in class that's always asking the question, right? Kirk, can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. And they're always wanting to make sure things are clear. Once they're clear, boy, they just take off. And the ninth why is simplify, to make things simple or understandable. So they take the complex and break it down to its simplest form. Yeah. They take all the extra things out so that we're all seeing the same thing and that things are simple. The people that wear glasses that are just like 2 pieces of glass and 3 pieces of wire, simple. They only wear 2 colors or a couple of colors, right? They want life to be very simple and understandable. So yeah. Those are the 9 whys, right?
Right. Right now. So I'll just tell a little bit. When I went through this whole process with Gary, the thing that I was starting to understand was a lot of times your improvement comes from pain. You know, you get into a painful situation, and consistently I was putting myself into painful situations where, you know, you and I talked about this last time, I'd get a new software, I'd find a new way. Like, it's always a new thing. And once you put a name to it, I'm like, wow, that's just kind of my DNA. I was able to help my team understand that this is just part of who I am, and tempering it a little bit, because it can cause challenges for you, big ones. You know, one of my team members asked me one day, are you ever happy? And I'm like, I'm so happy, but I'm never satisfied. I'll never say, oh, that's great. And then you helped me understand one of the things that you can do to temper your better way is you just have to be able to say once in a while, that's good enough. Like, that's good enough. Because I know once I get started on it, and I'm sure if you're a dentist watching this, sometimes you put in a crown and the margins, not perfect, and it doesn't stop. Like, it won't stop. You can't turn it off. And you'll say, I got to turn this off, but you can't. And so that's where your why can become dangerous. Now, it's also become incredibly helpful because that's where I need to put my energy. So here's a question I have for you, Gary, that comes up. Can people be a combination of two?
Yes. So that's a great question. The answer is no.
Okay.
Their why is their why, but their how and their what are what. So every time I tell people the 9 whys, the first thing they say is, you know, I'm part this, I'm part this, I'm part this, and I'm part this. And the answer is, yes, you are. One of them is your why, one of them is your how, and one of them is your what.
Wow. So you help people in your study club figure those out.
Yes.
Do you also help them understand where they need to channel their energy? Because I can imagine that's where a lot of the discrepancy comes.
Yeah.
You're trying to teach yourself to do something that you're not.
Well, you are a perfect example of that, and so am I. If you spend your day looking for better ways and have people around you that can handle all the things that you're not so good at, how would that feel for you?
Oh, it'd be amazing.
Yes. And that's what you've created.
Wow. Well, and everybody's got to find themselves in this whole process. What are some pitfalls to this, Gary? So you've learned a lot. Some of it the good way, some of it the hard way, but what were some of the profound lessons you learned in this journey in helping yourself understand your why, but helping other people learn their whys?
Well, here's the thing, especially for dentists. There's that thing that you want to get noticed for. That thing that you bring, that gift that you have that others don't have, and that is your why. And when you have the words to go along with it and your team sees that in you, then you get appreciated for that thing that you bring instead of people wondering about you. So back to your example, Kirk, you're always in search of a better way. You're always looking for something that's going to work better. And that can drive people crazy if they don't know what it is. But now that they know what it is, that Kirk is always looking for a better way. And then you get noticed and you get appreciated for the guy that's out there looking for better ways. Your clients, the people that you work with, they can count on you to be the guy that's going to go out there, find the better ways to run your practice, and then bring them to them, because you can't even stop yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what you bring. So one of the thing that's really cool about this is, one year for Christmas, I wrote Christmas cards to all of my team members and I thanked them based upon their why. That following week, they came to me individually and said, you know what? There's nothing better you could have said to me. That's the thing they want to get noticed for. It's the thing you want to get noticed for. Mm-hmm. And when you get noticed for that, it feels great. So you learn how to compliment your team. You learn how to put your team in the right place when you know their why. You'll get complimented from your team because they'll know your why once you've discovered that.
Yeah, this is powerful because this isn't just for you, in just what you've shared. This is for really understanding the people around you. Yes. And what you're really talking about is significance, because all of us, if you're listening to this podcast, if you started a business, there was a reason that was bigger than just making money. You wanted to make an impact. And when you can truly be appreciated for what you find out is inherently important to you, that's when a lot of this lines up. Now, Gary, I'm going to ask you to just illustrate a little bit more of your story, because some of you might be listening to this and go, oh, that's not very important. It's hugely important, because Simon Sinek, who was one of the early pioneers in this discussion, I mean, you're talking about corporations like Apple and some of the biggest in the world honing in on this message. And you actually, your work took off where you were flying all over the country, all over the world, working with major corporations, helping them understand their why. And you're like, this is just crazy. I'm everywhere. So tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yeah. So once I discovered my why, and then I discovered the process. Well, first of all, once I discovered my why, I took what I learned from John Assaraf and I took what I learned from Simon Sinek and I applied it to my own practice. And my practice took off. We had our best year ever. This was 8 years ago. Most production, most new patients, most satisfaction. We were getting 4 to 6 new patients a month. And that's for me and my brother, right? Mm. When you don't have enough new patients, it is painful. You have that feeling like I got to move every patient forward because I don't have enough of them. Right? And it just doesn't feel good. So we went from 4 to 6 new patients a month to 35 to 45 new patients a month. And in my practice, a new patient is worth about $6,000. We have a sedation type dental practice. So that's a significant difference for us. Most new patients, most fun, most satisfaction. We went from barely getting by to having abundance. And I can tell you, abundance is so much more fun than just getting by. Right. So I started getting calls, Kirk, from other dentists, friends of mine, study club members that I was with, saying, hey, how did you do that? Can you help me do that? So I started helping other dentists do what I did. So I had to develop processes and systems for doing that. Then I started getting calls from chiropractors, then from lawyers, then from medical communities. And then the company started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And now I've worked with over 500 companies, Kirk, in pretty much any kind of industry that you can imagine, helping them first get clear on who they are, then get clear on who their company is, and then how do we say that to the marketplace so that we attract the right new people to our business. So for dentists, step one is get clear on you. Who are you? Step two is, who are we? Who are we as a practice? What are the words that we use to articulate? Who are we? And then the third step is, how do we say that to the marketplace so that we attract the right new people to us, the right new patients, right? You've had the wrong new patient before, not much fun there. Having the right one walk in the door that says, I've been looking for you. That's the right new patient, right?
Yeah. And let me do a drill down and add some clarification to the metric side of this, because this is the byproduct of what Gary's talking about. Now, you heard Gary say, well, he went from 4 to 6 to 35 to 40, but the average new patient value was 6,000, which is 6 times the average. So not only, now do the math on that, because what you're doing, Gary, essentially is you're not only just getting more new patients, you're getting more of the new right type of patients, which is the holy grail.
Yes.
In growing a dental practice.
Let me add something to that. 35 to 45 new patients a month was too much. Too much. So we, and what we learned, so I've been where I didn't have enough patients, and I've been where I have too many of the wrong new patients. That's just as stressful.
Right.
Because you have to do all the paperwork, all the intake stuff. You have to meet with them. You have to spend time with them, and only to find out they're the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
What you said is exactly right, Kirk. Having the right amount of the right new patients is what we're looking for.
Right. And let's speak to the elephant in the room, which is, you know, some people might be heavy in PPOs. The message you sent,
yes,
when you're constantly marketing PPOs is you're cheap and you're easy to get to, of which these people will leave you in 1 second because there's zero loyalty. It's not a bad market. It's just the reality of the market. And the other thing that happens is that a lot of people now are expanding hours to accommodate this, why they're sitting in the marketplace. And they have the boiled frog syndrome where they wake up 5 or 6 years later and they go, I can't do this. Like 90% of my practice is PPO. And it goes back to what Gary's saying. The message you send is you're cheap, you're easy to get to, and yes, we love Delta Dental. Now, that's a whole other conversation, but yeah, that's not what we're saying. That's the other side of the spectrum. Would you agree with that?
For sure. And I would love to get into that sometime, maybe not on this particular podcast, because that's a really important point. In my practice, we don't take any of the PPOs. We don't file insurance for people, but we don't accept assignment of benefit. So
yeah, and you're one of the hardest states. I mean, you're in New Mexico, which we have on the watch list, yes, as one of the most difficult states. Now, you would agree with that. Like, New Mexico's, it's wonderful people. It's an amazing, yes, state, but it's difficult in private care.
We are in the one of the poorest states in the country. So in the down economy, 8 years ago, in a down economy, in the poorest or second poorest state in the country, we had our best year ever. Mm. And we've had our best year every year for the last 8 years in a row. So 2011 was better. 2012 was better than that. We just finished recently 2017, and we had our best year again, working less hours, seeing less patients, and doing even better.
Yeah. Does this work ever end? This never ends, does it?
No.
You don't just get your why and figure it out and then just put it on autopilot.
No, you don't. But you learn how to use it. The word choices that you have, like we were talking about at the beginning, word choice is so important. So knowing what to say. Oftentimes I think, Kirk, it's very much like the middle school boy that's at the school dance, and he's just standing against the wall wanting to dance, but he doesn't know what to say. So he just stands there and he hopes that somebody comes and asks him to dance, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just stay out of the game because you don't know what to say.
Right.
That to me was the most important thing. When you have the words, when you know exactly what to say that feels right and is authentic to you, mm-hmm, that's when you use it.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just like, I don't want to say that. That didn't feel right to me. So I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to stay quiet. I'm going to hope. How does hope work as a strategy?
Hope is not a strategy. Who said that? Somebody said that, right?
Somebody said that. But when you know what to say, then you will say it. Like, you talk all the time about better practice, better life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, you have the words now to say that.
Right. And you helped me in that whole process because we were trying to do everything. You come up with a value proposition for your practice. And then, you know, when I had my whole team and we spent a lot of really good thought on this, and we just boiled down, hey, look, we just do one thing. We make people's practices better, because at the end of the day, it's life, you know, not good, bad, or indifferent. There's a lot of other thought processes out there. And you see a lot of experts in dentistry telling everybody to work on Saturday. And in the same breath, they say, I've never worked a Saturday, but you need to. And you're like, what are you talking about, buddy? You know, so, And it's not in this process, in this journey in dentistry, you got to learn who you are and you got to figure out how you can consistently communicate and then you practice. And Gary, this is just beautiful work. It's helped me so much. And my wife thanks you. There are times, well, the thing that keeps you going again can also be the thing that's dangerous to everyone else around you if it's not understood.
Yes. And your and my why in particular, we can be irritants because we're always trying to find something better. We can always not be satisfied. So where do we stop, right? If it's always can be better, it can be better, it can be better, it can be better, it can be better. Where are we going to stop? And this is a conversation Kirk and I had before, which is the place that we stop is when it's good enough.
Right.
That sounds so basic, doesn't it? It doesn't sound profound, but it truly is.
Oh, it's not basic. Those are million-dollar words for me because you gave me those words and now I can tolerate myself. And well, it also too helps me sleep better because there are times where you get your arms around something, you're like, oh, I gotta get this, I gotta finish this, I gotta figure it out. Now I'm like, you know what? It's good enough. Time to go to bed. You know, and I have to say it over and over again because it just doesn't turn it off. When you hear the monkey chatter in your brain, you know, or the wheel going, I'm like, it's good enough. Let's go to bed. You know, so I can't thank you enough for that gift.
Well, you know what, one of the things I want to add to this, Kirk, is that, you know, imagine if you were going to a magic store and you sat down with the owner of this magic store and he brings out all these tricks and he starts doing these magic tricks with you. And there's this one trick that just blows you away. And you say, you know what? That's the one I'm going to buy. And you buy that magic trick and you take it home and you open up the box and you figure out how was that magic trick done? And once you see how it was done, what is the thing that usually comes over your mind once you've seen it? You're like, really?
That's it.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
I paid for that.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're like, man, that was a waste of money. But if that's where you stop, then you miss out on one of life's most important lessons. Mm-hmm. If you keep thinking about it, you'll say, you know what? That trick amazed me. And if it amazed me, it'll amaze other people. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That trick just boils down to a couple of simple things done really, really well. In life boils down to a couple of simple things done really, really well. And I know that's what you teach too, right, in your courses.
Yeah, I tell my team all the time and even the dentists we train, you know, it is always better to do one thing really well than nine mediocre, you know, and everyone can identify with that. It's also less energy. And you and I shared this on your podcast. There's no greater fatigue than mental fatigue. There's none. You actually enjoy good physical fatigue. You enjoy a day where you're doing what you do and you come up for air and you go, oh, that was so hard, but that was so good. When you aren't doing what you do best, it is mental fatigue. I don't care how you slice it, and you're probably doing it for one reason, money, which doesn't lend itself to a whole lot of satisfaction. Money, when it's the byproduct of all of the things that you do well, is much more gratifying than mentally fatiguing work.
Yes.
So,
and marketing your practice will boil down to just a couple of simple things done really well. And the first one is knowing you. That's when you know your why, how, and what. Mm-hmm. The second one is knowing your practice. That's when you know your practice, why, how, and what. And the third thing is developing the right messaging so that what you say is what people see and it comes from you.
Right.
Those are the steps.
Yeah. And that's the magic of marketing. You guys know, if you've ever bought anything, if you've ever like, that's it. You can see that it's not one thing. You're like, yes, mm-hmm. yes, I have had that problem. Yes, 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 yes. That is me. And so getting your messaging right is so powerful. So Gary, I know you have a lot of resources. I am actually going to be part of your study club that's coming up, and we're going to give people information on that. I'm going to encourage you guys. I'll be there with you. Join the study club. But you also have a webinar coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What is your webinar?
Yeah, so I'm starting a study club. I've done this before many different times live, and I've done them virtually. So I'm going to do a live online study club. It's going to be 6 weeks where I'm going to walk you through step by step by step exactly what I just talked about, so that you know yourself, you know your practice, and you know what to say. And I've put it all into a system for you so that you can do it with me, so that I'll be there to help you. And on the 17th of April, I'm going to host a webinar where you can learn more about this. Some of you are going to want to just do it. I know that. And there's a way that you can just go sign up and be part of this. I'm only going to, you know, there's only a limited number of people that I'm going to help. So hopefully you'll make it in. But if you want more information, on the 17th at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, what is that, 7 p.m. Central Time and 5 p.m. Pacific Time, I'm going to host a webinar. And I think you have the link already set up.
The link is posted right here. So you'll see the link right here in the post. You can just click on it, register right there, and it'll set everything up for you automatically. And you'll get all the information. And it'll just lead you right to the webinar.
Yeah. So on that webinar, I'm going to spend about 45 minutes and I'm going to show you exactly what we're going to do. And then I'll give you some examples of companies that have had astronomical growth doing exactly what we're talking about. A couple of weeks ago, Kirk, I spoke at a law conference. And there was a gentleman similar to yourself that is a consultant. He's a lawyer, but he's also a consultant and coach for lawyers, for law firms. When I'd worked with him about 6 years ago, his organization was a $600,000 organization. This year, they're going to do $10 million. And he points it all back to that conversation we had where I helped him get clear on who he is and how to say it so that he could develop that to attract the right clients to him. I've done it with so many different types of organizations, as well as dentists. And so I'll show you exactly what I'm talking about so you'll see it and make sure that it's right for you, because the people that I'm going to take through at the end, you will have it. It's not like, hey, let's talk for another 6 months about it. In 6 weeks, you will develop your messaging for your practice so that you can use it on your website. You can use it in anything that you do. It'll be clear. It'll feel right. And it'll come from you.
Yeah. I would argue one of the most six important weeks of your life once you figure this out, because you can't debate it once you figure it out. And then secondly, you also know what to do with it once you learn this. So Gary, I'm just crazy grateful. Now, people listening to this or watching this may want to ask you a question. How do we get a hold of Dr. Gary Sanchez if I have questions about my why or how this all works?
You know what? I'm going to give out my personal email. I don't normally do this, but what's great for me here, Kirk, is I'm speaking to my people, man. I'm speaking to the dentists. I really, really, really want to help dentists. I've done this in so many other business arenas, but I really want to help dentists. And so I'm going to give out my personal email address. So send me an email at GarySanchez2000@gmail.com, and I will personally get back to you. I'll personally have a conversation with you if you want. I don't normally do this because it's not normally what we like to do. But for dentists, I will do that. So just send me an email and you and I can have a conversation. I'd love to make sure this is right for you and get you on the right track. Because if you do this early, I wish I hadn't waited 20 years to know how to do this. I wish I had to start it right out of the gate with the right message. Right. Then I, you know, where would I be today if I'd have done that?
Right, right, right. And gosh, I hope during your study club, you mentioned a little bit about how you put this into your automations, because again, you were the first one to help me understand what a drip, but you created a whole system, a marketing system in which people found you, but then you sent out marketing messages that further reinforced the message, but you didn't have to call all these people. So by the time people sat in your chair, they already knew you.
Yes.
And you knew them in kind because of the messaging, correct?
Yeah, and I'll share all that in the 6-week study club, because I'll share with you all the things that we've done. I'll share with you my radio commercial that's made over $1 million. You know, you're going to love it. Everybody that hears it just says, I want that, and they want me to send them a copy of it. My tagline for my dental practice is great teeth, better life. You know, when you have great teeth, you will have a better life. And we use that everywhere because that truly is what we believe. You can't really have a good life if you have bad teeth.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we talk about it. It's up on all of our uniforms and our team members and everything we do. You'll see that because that's what we believe.
Right.
The real critical thing here, Kirk, is if I were to sum it up to one thing, is you want to attract to you people that believe what you believe. Those are the ones that appreciate you, value you, send to you, pay their bills on time. But first, you have to know what it is you believe.
Yeah.
In order to be able to use that.
This is so powerful because it fits with everything that we already know to be true. It's core value exercise. Your favorite patients care about the same thing. Your favorite team members care about the same thing. Your least favorite that you've ever worked with, they don't care about the same thing. They're the patients that you have the hardest time with. They don't, you can tell them over and over that they have perio. They don't care, you know, and your least favorite team members you've ever had, same thing. It's malaligned or we're off. Yes. And it's because we don't have our whys lined up. So Good stuff, buddy.
Those of you that are listening that are needing to hire somebody new, I will show you exactly how to hire the right person for your practice because you can't afford to have the wrong ones. I'll show you how you go about finding the exact right person for your practice that believes what you believe, that believes what you believe and will fit into your team just perfectly. That's who you're looking for. So that'll be part of it as well.
This is something you can't miss. So again, join Gary's webinar on April 17th. The link is right here. Just click on it. And then if you're listening to this on iTunes, Gary, give us a shout out on your website again. What is it?
Yeah, my website is whyinstitute.com. Okay. whyinstitute.com. Now, I do also have a website, Kirk, for the study club.
Oh, you do?
And that's called dentistryroadmap.com. Dentistryroadmap.com. So if they go to that, they'll learn all about the study club. They'll see exactly what we're going to do. It breaks it down into the 6 modules. You'll see what we're up to. There's a video from me that kind of works through all of that. So if you want to just go directly and get signed up for the 6-week study club, just go to Dentistry Roadmap and you'll see it right there.
Awesome, buddy. Cool. Well, thank you so much for being on, my friend. And you and I are going to do several of these.
Yep.
And we're going to uncover, you know, the next piece of the roadmap as we go along here, because this stuff is so helpful for me and I know it's helpful for the listeners. So stick around while we just say goodbye to everybody else, but thank you guys for listening. Thank you for watching today and do us a favor. If you found this valuable, just hit the share button, because obviously we'd love for you to share this information with all of your colleagues and help this great profession we love so much called dentistry. Gary, thank you again. And thank you guys for watching. And until we see you next time, keep watching the best practices show. You guys have a great rest of your day.